How does a company like Ubisoft, with some of the most celebrated IP in all of gaming, go from a stock price of $110 per share in 2018 to being barely worth $11 right now? How does a company go from creating characters like Ezio, Edward Kinway, and Sam Fisher to creating characters like Kanesh, Janie Rojas, and Ivor? Although Ubisoft's stock price only began to peak and then plummet in 2018, the seeds for its destruction were being sown as early as 2012. In the ensuing years, Ubisoft would endure a complete creative collapse under the weight of its own wokeness, greed, and sexual abuse scandals, which revealed that the rot went all the way to the top. Our story begins with a former Ubisoft employee who chose to speak to me. He didn't want his name revealed, so we will call him simply Chad. This dude is based as hell. He spent 11 years working for the Montreal studio. This is Ubisoft's flagship studio with 4,000 people, and the creative direction for basically every Assassin's Creed game, Far Cry game, and Splinter Cell game was done here. Ubisoft has many studios around the world, but the primary creative vision for games always came from the big Western studios like Montreal.
I had a front row seat to the collapse of Ubisoft, Chad explains.
When he first started at the company in 2011, he was working on animation tools and rigging for a new driver game. Funny enough, this game would later become Watch Dogs. Chad explains,
"When I started at Ubisoft, the production floor was 95% male. There was always a problem of nepotism at Ubisoft, but it was still mostly meritocratic. If somebody did a shit job, you would tell them. When you have a bunch of guys working together, you can be frank and you can be direct. It's efficient. But when you're working with women and minorities, you waste a lot of time."
So it's a simple fact that the culture that created Assassin's Creed 2 and Black Flag was 95% men. Let that sink in. Having worked in male-dominated environments myself, I know exactly what Chad is talking about here. Men don't bullshit around. Men are direct. Design and technology are always a balancing act, and so you can't waste time with people's feelings getting hurt. This is why stressful environments always work best when they are exclusively male. But the clarion call of a company that will one day collapse happens in 2012. Ubisoft starts their diversity hiring initiatives. It starts small at first and grows worse and worse. No longer are people being hired based on their talent. People are now being hired because they are a woman, they're gay, they're black, etc. Ubisoft is now hiring for that dreaded word that goes on to destroy everything good. Diversity. The quartering blew the lid on similar training seminars going on at Ubisoft in 2018. An insane sentence from these propaganda seminars jumped out to me. 47% of game players in Canada are women. Yes, 50% of people who play Candy Crush are women, but never, now, nor in the past, have 50% of AAA Ubisoft game players been women. When your company training contains such bold-faced lies, you know you're in for a troubled future. Chad goes on.
Ubisoft made a huge change to try to change this 95% male demographic on the production floor. When I left, it was like 75%. Not only did they not want it to be all male, they wanted it to not be white people anymore. The diversity hires, we saw that a lot. And it does change the culture, because you cannot be blunt with people anymore. Resolving an issue takes twice or thrice as long. Ooh, could you maybe do it this way? Fear of hurting people's feelings, HR complaints, etc.
Now, just to be perfectly clear here, I don't think myself nor Chad would say the problem here is that people aren't white or aren't men. That's not really the issue. The issue is and always has been skill. Are these people good at their jobs? Look at Bungie when they made Halo 3 or BioWare when they made Mass Effect 2. Good studios in the 2000s had a lot of white guys, but they also had a lot of Asian dudes, Indian dudes, Latin dudes, and occasionally there was a random woman who was good at her job too. Chad put it this way.
I worked with some women oftentimes who were extremely competent. People who had been there before, very strong-willed, knew their shit. But new hires? You start to ask, how the fuck did you get hired? The person lacking talent doesn't realize they're bad, but the competent people do. The people that are competent, they know each other. The people who are lacking don't realize that they suck. DEI hires. Most of them fucking sucked. They have like 25% of the normal productive output of a normal employee. Pulling time away from the more senior people as well.
So Ubisoft is still 95% men and will still enjoy success for a few more years after this. 2013, Black Flag comes out. 2017, Origins comes out. But slowly over time, there is this push for diversity, and it's like holes in Swiss cheese. When you start hiring people based on their gender, your company will only last for so long. Chad put it this way.
A woman will propose an idea. come up with the stupidest fucking thing ever. The manager has to try to be nice. Meanwhile, the talented people at the company are looking at each other trying to not saying anything. And this terrible ideas clog up company resources. We have to wait. We have to be polite. In a group of men, we could be direct. But you can't be direct with women. Even some dudes were pussies and you couldn't be direct with them.
Chad told me about working with a guy who was balding and yet came to work in little girl dresses and talked like a little girl. Can you imagine how distracting and annoying that would be during the day? Chad told me that 2011 was a time of open and direct criticism at Ubisoft. Somebody would say something stupid and they would get laughed out of the room. But by 2020, with all the women and gay people and diversity hires, everything was changed because of diversity and we can't hurt people's feelings. And of course, the quality of the video games went down and down and down when you have a culture like this. So the stage was being set for Assassin's Creed Shadows and Star Wars Outlaws. But jump back to 2013, Chad told me about creating the rigging for a character on Watch Dogs that needed to look at a phone. The art director on the project was a DEI hire and a woman who was completely inept at her job. So every time they needed to get a concept approved, this woman would make them fully render the animation out because she had zero vision and was bad at her job. This was one of the many, many ways that DEI hires began to cripple Ubisoft. Chad described another time at Ubisoft he saw one of his employees, we'll call her Claire, opening up a file, editing it, closing it, opening up a file, editing it, closing it. He noticed this happening for several days. After day four, Chad asked Claire,
"What the hell are you doing?"
And she said,
"Somebody booked me for 2 weeks to go into 10,000 different files and change the name of something and close it out."
Chad said,
"Are you freaking kidding me? I could have run a batch for you and we could have had this done overnight. Your time is valuable. You should be working on something productive."
Chad said he ran into countless examples like this, and I have heard it called the diversity tax. And it's just people who haven't done a job for very long or aren't very good at a job get promoted into places of power, and then it pulls the whole institution down. These problems only became multiplied when DEI hires got promoted, as they often did. Think about it. Now people like Claire, who never should have been promoted, are managing a team of people who are making decisions just as bad as she was. Promoting these people is like the cancer going from just your arm to now your heart, where it can pollute the whole body. Is it starting to make sense now why we got Assassin's Creed Shadows? Another angle to this we haven't even talked about is that often Ubisoft is making these shady deals with government agencies, and DEI and diversity is a huge part of closing those deals. Ubisoft has notoriously made shady deals with the Canadian government, and because Canada is so freaking gay, I guarantee you those deals have to do with like 30% women have to be hired, 30% Indian, or whatever. The moment you stop hiring based on merit, your company is toast. Before we move on, I wanted to ask Chad about the infamous Watch Dogs 2013 E3 footage trailer. Fans complained that what we got in the game was significantly downgraded from the trailer.
They faked their E3 footage. It was all scripted. You free a lot of resources from the system so you can crank up all the other stuff. For example, animated movies always look better than in-game graphics because everything is baked in.
Chad, of course, told them, "You need to show the render live from the PlayStation 3, but the Ubisoft marketing side doesn't listen to the guys who actually make the game like Chad, and they paid the price for it." Another thing Chad hit on here is what killed the creativity at Ubisoft, because in the mid-2000s, Ubisoft had quite a bit of creativity, and you might ask what happened to that. That, I believe, can be laid at the feet of this little thing called the editorial board. Yves Guillemot is the CEO of Ubisoft. The dude is a woke leftist homo and complete degenerate, according to Chad. His editorial board are his closest advisors, and Chad tells me,
"They're all wokesters, just like Eve."
I'm imagining Eyes Wide Shut parties, trips to Epstein's Island, etc. The editorial meets in Paris, and they will occasionally have small designers from one of their many companies come to Paris and show off a game. When this is working, it creates incredible stuff. Did you know the first Assassin's Creed game in 2007 was originally supposed to be a Prince of Persia game, but a really creative Ubisoft designer came up with Assassin's Creed instead? Patrice Desilets is his name. I don't know how to say that name. In 2013, Ubisoft was working on a God of War type game, but of course it got canned. Chad did not confirm this, but I wonder if a really inventive game like Driver San Francisco also was an idea that got approved by the editorial board. So back when the editorial board was working, it was doing really good stuff, But Chad explains that every AC game got bigger and bigger around 2018. The editorial board started trying to inject Assassin's Creed into everything. This is when we start to see the Ubisoftification of the industry take hold. Now everything needs to be Assassin's Creed. Far Cry needs to be Assassin's Creed. Ghost Recon needs to be Assassin's Creed. Watch Dogs needs to be Assassin's Creed. You can imagine it gets worse when the editorial board sees how much microtransactions can make. Suddenly microtransactions are in every game. So whenever you see the way that creativity was murdered in Ubisoft games post 2015 or so, the way every game that was made turned into a bland open world with tons of points on a map, just know it wasn't the guys on the bottom doing this. It came from the top. It was all about money, pride, and greed, and it came from Guillemot's hand-picked editorial board. Speaking of the rank-and-file workers, I asked Chad, where was all the woke leftist propaganda coming from? Was it coming from Guillemot or coming from folks on the bottom?
Both, Chad tells me. I worked with a lot of normal guys. Guys who I would take my lunch break with, joke around with. But when woke culture arrived, they went along with it. Some of them embraced it because they believed in it. Some of them embraced it because they think it's going to give them a chance with a woman. Some of them embraced it because it would give them a chance for career advancement.
Apparently, a man like Trump getting up and speaking pure facts created an enormous wave of triggered feminists and beta cuck men in the community of people who create video games. Ubisoft Montreal was just as affected as anywhere else, and this started to sweep through the company. This was made even worse when the lockdowns happened and the George Floyd situation took over the media in 2020. When you're a leftist and you don't actually have a moral code or ultimate purpose in life, you desperately look for a cause to fight for. So the left's rallying cry became things like equality and injustice. What evidence did they have that injustices had happened? Oh, just cleverly edited viral clips by gay communists looking to create more social upheaval and turn people against cops, the very people protecting them? But this goes back to what I was saying in another video. When you're a leftist and you have no real morality, you need to see racism and sexism everywhere, because calling these things out, even when they're completely imaginary and have no evidence, gives your stupid life meaning. So trouble was brewing at Ubisoft because the feminists were loud and the beta cuck men who wanted a crumb of sex from them were willing to go along with whatever the women were saying. And this, of course, creates the Assassin's Creed Shadows disaster. In case you're not familiar with it, people have been begging Ubisoft for years to make a samurai Assassin's Creed game. So they finally make one, but this time the main protagonist of the story is black. Say what? Why would you do that? But this is what happens when you chase trends rather than timeless and good characters. In another video, I reflected on how odd this was. It would be like Assassin's Creed Origins not starring an Egyptian man, but instead starring a white guy from Ohio named Brad. But of course, we found out there was a political motivation behind this decision. They did it because of racism and equality and I'm a childless cat owner, so I have to try to destroy the things men love. And once you, as Yves Guillemot, have committed to the insanity, you have to double down on it when they attack. This, of course, makes you buy off an authority to lie about Japanese culture so you can make the woke leftist game you want. This, of course, makes you buy bots to leave comments praising the game. This, of course, makes you disregard all fan feedback to the contrary and everyone saying this is an awful idea. In one particularly idiotic statement, Guillemot said, "We condemn these hateful attacks against our creatives." But nobody is attacking your developers. We just don't want the game and we're not buying it. But the pussy-ass left always spins it as, "This is a hate campaign. You're being so hateful." What they are really saying is, we want to make the game we want to make, and we're going to ram it with political messages, and you're a racist if you don't gobble it down. Sorry, honey boo-boo, not gonna happen. So it would be a shame if I don't talk about the sex scandals a bit. Basically, the editorial board has a ton of power because they decide what games get made and where hundreds of millions of dollars go. Now remember that most of these guys are woke leftist communists, have no morality whatsoever, and are easily bought off with sex, and you have a recipe for disaster. Starting as early as 2018, we see these accusations come out, And as of today in 2024, you have five people facing criminal charges in France right now for what they did. I read reports of a bunch of men holding a woman down while a director kissed her. Just really weird, evil stuff. I asked Chad, were these guys liberals or conservatives?
Oh, liberals for sure, Chad tells me.
He goes on,
it's always the male feminist. It's always the wokester. You can never trust a male feminist. Nobody believes in that stuff unless you're emasculated. It's all about getting access to the women, using their power to get access to women. It's not going to be the Christian who does this stuff. It's not the toxic masculinity guy who gets into that stuff. It's the women's studies major. It's the guy talking about equality. Women who say men are trash, it's because the women are hanging out with progressive men. Guys who go to church or are into their faith would never be involved with this stuff.
I know for a fact Tommy Francois was a leftist who harassed women. Ashraf Ismail was the Middle Eastern guy directing Valhalla who stepped down. But he wasn't actually a religious guy at all. He was a progressive. The dude left his wife during the production of Valhalla, and I know for a fact he doesn't follow the teachings of Islam. So it's almost never the religious guys doing this stuff. It's the left. It's the wokesters. It's the very people who call this stuff out who are doing it as always. All right, so just to close this video out, I want it to be perfectly clear what caused the downfall of Ubisoft. And we have now heard from a source deeply connected in the industry for 11 years. Back in the 2000s, Ubisoft made some incredible games. They had perhaps what some might call a toxic male culture. But we know that there were no reports of sexual abuse, and some of the best games ever got created. Because it takes a culture of blunt honesty, a culture run by men, to create these really good games. But starting in 2012 and simply getting worse over time, we see diversity, anti-meritocratic, and DEI initiatives being pushed. You see inept people being hired, and you see those inept people getting promoted, either because they're women, black, or gay. And this eventually gives us the Ubisoft we have in 2020 and 2024. This is the Ubisoft that wants to put black men into samurai games. This is the Ubisoft that makes Skull and Bones, essentially a mobile game with 1/4 the features of Black Flag in it. This is the Ubisoft that creates the abortion Star Wars Outlaws. So it should not be a mystery anymore what killed Ubisoft. It was DEI and it was woke nonsense. So I ask you, which way, Western man? Before you take another job, ask them this question. Are people who are bad at their jobs hired on the basis of their skin color here? Or do you clearly hire based on merit? Oh, and in closing, just a huge shout out to our based informant here at Ubisoft. The guy is Catholic. He's based as hell. Just a really cool guy. I was asking him, why do people at video game companies so rarely speak out like this? And he said, it's because, you know, once you're stuck in the video game industry, you're kind of stuck in that industry, and you got to be really careful about what you say, because if there's any whiff of like you divulging company secrets or divulging what's going on the inside, you would easily lose your job. And then you got to go back to working at Starbucks, because it's not like you can, you know, once you're in the video game industry, your skills are only appropriate for that industry. You can't just jump to any other industry. So anyway, guys, I'm out of here. Talk to y'all soon.